welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, streaming to you right here from Silverton, Oregon. And yesterday we had our hottest day of the year. I think it hit almost like 97. I don't know what's going to be happening today, but that'll be fun.
My thermostat here at the house said 101.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're joining the state of Arizona, you know, right now. But
No. This will be a cool day, summer day. Welcome to the wacky states of America.
Yeah. Thank you. The wacky states of America. Never thought of that, but hey, we are looking forward to a greater state. And in case any of you are out there and you're feeling just a little bit discouraged, just keep this in mind. Yahweh's kingdom is coming soon.
And it seems like it all every day.
He is coming soon. And I'll tell you what, he even promises to even instill himself, bring himself to us, even in the midst of chaos. So if lift your head, look upward, he will give you peace and, do not despair yet.
No. Yes.
We need to look for his will.
Yes, right? His will is great. So what is his will? Here's the question. Aaron had brought it up as we came in, and he says, you know, how do I be set apart? And how can I work on that?
Yeah, what am I doing to live the set apart life?
Yeah. And then I asked a question back to you. Well, what's interfering in doing the set apart life?
Do you have an hour for the list?
I know, yeah. Right? So we're really excited this morning. We're going to be bringing on a historian with us here later. You've heard her before. Her name is Linda Watson. We just love this lady. She studies history from the point of view of America and Britain and our history and where we've come from and where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get to that, though, we're going to be talking to you about some things, about those things that distract you from living that set-apart life, and maybe also making you aware that you probably need to consider a set-apart life. In case you're still wanting to be part of the world, maybe we should wake up and say, hey, you know, let's think of a different way to approach this.
Yeah, work at smelling the roses, because that's a decent thing. Living life in America is not so decent anymore.
It's getting strange.
Yes.
It really is getting strange.
You know, talking about history today.
Yeah.
Today is a historic day.
It is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we've been around the world, as long as this world has been around, every day is going to have some kind of history, right?
Yes.
But this one is kind of significant. In 1933, the first Dioxin car was produced, the first three-wheeled car.
The what? Moxin?
Dioxin?
Dioxin?
I think that's how it's pronounced.
Well, Tuck should know the meaning of that word.
No, I don't.
No, but you should know it.
I should know.
So it's a what kind of car?
Three-wheeled car.
Oh, so it's like a wheelbarrow.
Okay, yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Okay.
The problem with that car was in the fact of the stability, because the one wheel was the steering wheel, the turning wheel, and so as you'd go around and you'd turn, the car would lean on
a
turn.
Yeah. Or I imagine it would get a little bit loose or something.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So that happened when?
In 33.
Wow.
1990. Boris Yeltsin resigned from the Communist Party.
Really?
Well.
Interesting. 1990. He resigned, or was he?
Well, it says resigned.
You always wonder. You know, With countries like that, I mean, was it assassination? Yeah. What else?
1861, so going back a little bit.
Yeah.
Wild Bill Hickok has his first gunfight.
I love Westerns. How about you, man? I mean, it's just like, it's kind of cool. The good prevailing over evil.
1957, Eisenhower takes the first presidential ride in a helicopter. Helicopters were new at that time, and so he was, 1957, on today, was the first time a president was in a helicopter.
Actually got in one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was kind of brave. You know, but we had had helicopters. I thought we had that in World War II, didn't we? Maybe we didn't.
I don't think so. Not until
Vietnam. We had it.
Vietnam, for sure. Yes. Yeah.
You know,
that's when it was, you know, most widely used in war. Now it's standard. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. 1862, the Medal of Honor is created.
Huh.
Speaking of war and military stuff. But here's something else that's very interesting.
Yeah.
In 1984, on this day, Walter Mondale, which I'm sure that nobody actually remembers that name.
Oh, I do.
He picked Geraldine Ferraro to be his vice president candidate, and she was the first female vice president candidate.
Wow.
So, and now we have a female vice president. So, you know.
And now we have all kinds of different
people. Yeah.
Speaking of a great date, this happened like in July 8. Here's an ad for you.
Okay.
Let's see if you can handle the ad.
Okay.
And figure it out. We are looking for someone to serve in a senior appointee position at the Department of Energy's Office of Nuclear Energy. Pretty important boss.
Yeah.
Right? This person should enjoy engaging in homosexual puppy play.
Wait. What?
Must have no problem with having sex with animals. Must have given lectures on college campuses on kink lifestyles. Must have lobbied congressmen and the president while walking in stiletto high heels. If you fit this profile, please send your resume to the Biden administration, which is committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion. The kinkier you are, the more boxes we can check off.
Exactly, right? So this sounds like this ad is tailor-made for somebody.
It is. In case you know, we're at a new low here in America. We have a man by the name of Sam Britton, who is called the King of Kink. And he was just appointed by President Biden in July 8 to become the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Office of Nuclear Energy.
See, my question is, what does any of that nonsense have to do with fulfilling that job?
Well, you know, this is what's interesting. We're actually moving in a direction of what a person might label themselves at.
Yeah.
What they claim to be, rather than just a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember back in the 60s and 70s. Tuck, do you remember that back that far?
Well, I was a teenager in the 60s.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I was only about
Actually, you know, that's actually a thing. Do you remember the 60s? I know you were alive, but do you remember the 60s?
Yeah, I remember certain things about it, about a certain age.
And others just don't even remember the entire decade. You know? Right. It's like, and they don't even have dementia yet.
You know, but we would, you know, I remember working around people that had different lifestyles, but, you know, you really didn't know about it. They
right.
were just kind of a human being there, and they never really bragged, promoted, or propagated what they believed in or what they wanted to do. And everyone got along pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays we have to really promote what people do in the bedroom or what they do that's kind of kinky.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of concerns me here is that the LGBT focus is really moving us towards a state that attacks being set apart for God's work.
Yeah.
Take, for instance, the number, well, if we take the rainbow,
mm-hmm.
which supports the LGBT.
Right, that's one of their little logos, if you will.
I don't know if people know this or not, but the amount of colors that are in their rainbow is six. the amount of colors in God's rainbow is 7.
Wait, those numbers sound familiar.
Yeah, you know, 7 stands for that complete sort of perfection idea, and 6 stands for man's ideas. So we have the gay flag that's basically saying man will do as they wilt.
Well, what about the women, Ron? Well, are you leaving them out?
Yeah, probably not. But I'm talking about mankind. Mankind will do as
what about
they wilt in the face of Yahweh God, which to me is just insane.
What about the non-transgender kind, or the transgender kind? Are you leaving them out too?
I don't know.
I'm trying to get him in trouble over here.
I will not be proud, and I will leave them out because they're not an entity. There are two entities, that's male and female.
This is interesting. Let me just give you an idea of this appointee for a second.
Okay.
Just so you grab the nature of what I'm talking about, man against God, man against the ideas of God.
So before you go that far, I find the ad really interesting because it's for a job with the government for the Department of Energy, right? The nuclear energy.
Yeah, but I was reading you a fake ad. It's basically an ad that would shock most of us if that ad was put out. Would you be in shock? Answer.
Well, no. No. I mean, not at all. I mean, you know, because we've got to have, you know, everybody that wants to, you know, take their teddy bear to work.
Well, it does make you wonder. This guy talks about learning how to read people like puppies. And that
that you need say that again.
Read people like puppies. He says this, I tell people that if you're going to be a good handler, you'll have to listen well, Sam Britton says. I can hear when a puppy needs something faster because of the difference in the grunts or the moans. Sam also says that watching a puppy's eyes are like interactions with people. And his reaction time to certain commands can signal whether a puppy needs to take a rest or have a break for water. But the point is that a handler should know that even if the puppy's not whimpering for water, you know that this is some time for something that he needs. And he goes on further to say that many times the something that he needs might be dominance. In fact, here, when he speaks to college campuses, he actually speaks on this. In addition to like doggy domination, Britton loves telling college kids about the joys of bondage and other forms of kink. He gave a talk on the physics of kink at the University of Wisconsin, Stout, where they were having lessons and live demonstrations on the tension forces of bondage, thermodynamics, and wax play, physics of impact, and circuits of electroplay. At the University of Nebraska, Omaha, he gave a lecture on Kink 101. He pictures himself in dresses, high heels. He sings songs to Daddy Fauci. Daddy Fauci is the one that he worships and adores. This is the person that is one of the leaders in Biden's nuclear energy program. It should make us wonder what's going to happen. How would other countries view this, especially Iran, Russia, North Korea, China? What are they going to view this person like?
Oh, they'll be fully accepting.
Right? But the idea here
is over and visit us.
Yeah.
Come over and visit us, please.
What has gone drastically wrong? Let's take a look. I want us to go to Romans 1 because we need to remember what is going on. And then, Aaron, you have some great stuff to share with us on the rainbow. But if we look at Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. What that means is we have no excuse because we can see his power. We can see it all around us. For even though they knew God, everyone kind of knows that there's a God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their own speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. Prophecy? Statement? What is he saying?
Yeah.
Man's kind of foolish and...
Kind of?
Yeah. And when I look at the pictures of this guy called Sam Britton, who's called the King of Kink, I wonder what's going on. And how are we going to be able to be set apart from all of this? Knowledge starts us off being aware of our surroundings. Mm-hmm. So let's be knowledgeable. Aaron, when we look at the rainbow that's being used by the LGBTQ community, what's fascinating about that to you?
Where do you want to start? With the original flag or with the one that we kind of know right now?
Okay. Either one. The one that we know now most people see. But
right. That one is the sixth color you're talking about. Mm-hmm. God's rainbow has seven, like you said. So the colors that they use are all the same, except in the LGBT one, they drop the blue. So the color from the outside in is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. That's God's rainbow. That's mm-hmm. the seven. The LGBT drops the blue in there between green and indigo.
Why would they do that, I wonder?
Well, we need to look. I would look at,
what do the colors mean?
What the colors mean.
Okay.
And so we'll go to that one. I got to switch screens here.
To me, that blue, I don't know about you guys.
That's the one.
I know from a psychological point of view, when people come into a room that's a gentle color of blue, it seems really nice to them.
Right, right.
So what is...
And here's what's funny. When I was first looking at it and trying to find, okay, what color is it that's off, it's missing? I went, oh, that's a baby blue.
Wow, really?
Oh.
So it's a lighter blue.
Wait a minute.
It's a baby blue.
It's a light version of blue. I mean, when you say blue, it could be, from the dark blue jeans to the really light blue jean, powder blue, those kinds of things.
Wow.
But it is a lighter blue. So
why would they take that color? Well, it's kind of obvious.
Blue means from the biblical side, the color of the sky and the ocean. Blue represents peace, relaxation, and stability.
Stability.
Yeah. When people want to relax, they often seek out water, uh-huh. even just changing out the wallpaper on a computer background to an ocean scene can benefit in this regard because of the blue color.
So it's interesting they would take out stability and peace.
Well, see, and then it goes on to the blue of the rainbow represents the following.
Okay.
Calm, communication, knowledge, and peace.
Knowledge is important.
And this is what they've taken out of that.
Hmm. Wow. So if I want to be set apart, I would want God's rainbow and not man's rainbow. Why would I want to take out knowledge and peace? Why would I want that taken out?
Yeah.
Because I think if I'm going to be a set apart person, I would ask for that.
They want control because otherwise you have to accept something already designated as the proper rainbow, if you will.
If I were to look at Isaiah 11, here's the spirits that are talked about, the spirits of the Lord resting on Yeshua. And they include the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of Yahweh. knowledge leads us to this understanding that we must fear Yahweh God and his commandments. It's interesting to me that that color was pulled out.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
They don't want anything to do with God.
Well, the Satanic Bible itself says, do as thy wilt, do as you wilt. And when I look at this agenda, it's a raised fist against others and against God, saying, I will do whatever makes me happy. No one should ever impose their truth on me because my truth is my truth.
Right.
They never talk about God's truth.
Yeah. So do you want to know the original LGBT flag?
Yeah. Fill us in. We got to be knowledgeable. Right?
Yeah. It originally started with 8 colors.
Really?
So it was the 7, the original 7. And the blue there that they is actually more of a turquoise.
Oh, so they changed the color.
Right. So changed the color a little bit. But the red, orange, yellow, green, indigo, and violet, they're still the same.
So what'd they add?
They added a hot pink.
A hot pink?
Up at the top.
Really?
So it starts with this hot pink.
At the top?
At the top.
What does that mean?
Well, the red means life. Orange means healing. Yellow is sunlight. Green is nature.
Uh-huh.
Turquoise, that they've added in on this one, is magic.
Wow.
So it's still kind of close to this whole God thing, but they've kind of adjusted it to man's version of all of that. So it's magic now.
And they're worshiping things.
Right.
Not concepts.
Yeah. So then indigo is serenity and violet is spirit.
Interesting.
So hot pink, I think I missed that one because that one is sex.
And it's on top.
Unbelievable. Starting with.
So they worship. Wow.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
And the hot pink was dropped. And the reason it was dropped was because back in the late 70s, right after Harvey Milk was assassinated, the demand for these flags went up in support of, you know, this high profile gay man who had been murdered. That fabric wasn't around, so they had to drop the pink so they could make the flags.
I remember those 70s. I had a number of high school friends that had died due to homosexual behavior. If you went up, I lived in the Bay Area.
So you were actually near this area.
Oh, yeah. And we knew it well, and we knew of the bathhouses that were up there where hundreds of men would meet in these terrible places.
Yeah.
And they were dying constantly because of the infection, because of the bacteria, you know, that was being spread. It was just atrocious.
Yeah.
And yet they continued to live in this concept, this lie to worship man and not God.
Yeah.
Because in doing that, they were free.
Somehow.
Well, that's what they expressed their freedom in that manner. And that's against Yahweh's plan for humanity. That was their plan for humanity.
But God says something different about his commands, his laws. His laws said that they are their life.
Mm-hmm.
You follow my commands, you live.
You promote life. They're promoting death.
Okay, do you have to talk so direct?
Well, they are.
Throw it out there, Tuck.
That's what they're doing.
How do you really feel?
But it is true. I mean, Yahweh has his name even is this outstretched hand that rescues us.
Yeah.
He talks about life, breathing life into us. Stay tuned.
Shadow of death to the light. You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Tight, guys, we finally got it.
Okay, good.
It's just awesome.
Okay, good.
You know, you guys, we've been promising you that, you know, we have, you know, the Wise Guy Show with you every Tuesday. Notice the word wise guys, but we always have
wise guys.
Yeah, but we do have wise women that join us every now and then, and this is one of them.
And they're and generally speaking, almost every single time I can think of. Wiser.
I know, right? I know it. And I love history, and I love this woman. Her name is Linda Watson. She just does a fantastic job. And coming all the way from 3 hours away from us, back on the East Coast, she's here with us this morning. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, we're just doing perfect. You know, we've been talking about where we are in the United States lately. I don't know if you know of Joe Biden's latest appointee by the name of Mr. Brinton, who is called King of Kink. He's in charge of the Department of Energy.
Well, if they confirm.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they're going to.
Oh, my word. And so we wonder where we are in America, where these things are happening to us, and we're taking items like this to where we have a person in an administration that not only dresses up like a woman, but dresses up like a dog and has even been part of the pedophile group in 2015 on Men Who Love Boys. I mean, these things are really amazing in our history right now, but yet we just seem to keep moving towards this way. I know this probably wasn't the topic that we were going to talk about, but where do you think we are in history right now? What is going on in America?
Well, you know, when you start looking at the book of Hosea, it tells you you have, and you know these verses, I mean, it says you have 2 days, and then in the third day I will lift you up, which is talking about a resurrection. If you read that verse, you see that that's probably talking about from the time of the Messiah. 2 days would represent, according to Peter, 2 days can represent 1,000 years. Well, we're bumping up on if the Messiah was crucified in 30 AD, which we believe he was, then we're bumping up on 2,000 years coming 2030, right?
Yeah.
So we know that things have to be happening at this point because we'll be going into that third day from the time that the Messiah came. So we know just based on that one verse where we're knocking at the door and, you know, we see all these things beginning to happen. I mean, really and truly, when you look at this country, it's divided in half.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the plumb line that Amos talks about. And he
really
talks about this. I'm going to take and drag a plumb line across the country and I'm going to split it down the middle. And that's what you see going on. You have the liberals on one side of the equation, which have lost their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the conservatives, which – and if you look at that same scenario in the old land of Israel, you had Israel, who was called the rebellious house.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Judah, who was – you know, you can't really say they were any better, but they were more spiritual.
Right.
Okay. They were more conservative. When you look at them all through scripture, they were more conservative, but the father said they were both groups were, at that point, it was not good, right? And that's
right.
What we see going on in this country. The same thing, we have the conservative people playing the role of Judah. And you have the the liberals really playing the role of Israel. And
yeah.
So it's a split down the middle. I mean, these are spiritual analogies that are playing out that once you start reading scripture, because what does scripture tell you? It says that, you know, everything is I did everything with parables. Well, parables are symbols. So, you know, a good example of this is our Constitution is based on biblical law. I mean,
uh-huh.
You can go back and you can see that they had captains of 1,000, captains of 50, captains of 10. And that's a representative type of government, which is exactly what we have now. We have different numbers, right?
Right.
But we selected representatives, and that's called a republic. And so that's what they had back in the land of Israel. They had a republic. But at some point in history, and most historians kind of center it around the 4th century, all these nations that had kings now went under a system we call the feudal system, which the kings had a lot of authority. They gave the land to their friends, the lords of the manor, and they would set up these conglomerates where everybody else was just peasants.
Uh-huh.
And so this is what went on in history, and that went on in every nation, even China, even Russia. All of those nations had the feudal system. They had a king, they had lords, and they had this manor, and then this lord would rule over a group of people. And they had they were a little bit better than slaves.
Okay? Yeah.
They couldn't be sold off. They had either owned their land or they rented their land from the Lord. But he had total control over them. And the way it worked is they went to war. They just had to send their men to war. I mean, this is the system that they lived under for century after century after century. And you can see a smither of that back in the land of Israel, because you remember the story of Zedekiah.
Uh-huh.
Jeremiah went to him and said, what can I do to straighten some of this stuff up? And he said, well, first of all, release the slaves. They had a continuous, they were supposed to be released every 7 years in a Shemitah, right?
Uh-huh.
But they weren't. And so Zedekiah did that. But the nobles came back and they said, no, we're not going to have that. We're not going to have that. So they took the people that they had just released from slavery and brought them back into slavery.
Wow.
Linda, there's something that comes to mind when you're talking about this stuff. Before the kings came into place and God was dealing with Israel, he had given them prophets and judges. And those
right.
prophets and judges would usually turn the course or try to rectify a direction. So if the direction was going in the wrong way, they would come in and say, hey, you've left the laws of Yahweh. But when they went to the kings, it always seems like not only do kings own the land, not only do they own the people and the wars, but they also own the culture. It seems like they set the culture up. And when you read the Old Testament, you see how some kings were termed evil, and likewise the nation would follow. And is that something that we should be conscious of?
So this is exactly what we're going back to. So when we came to America, when the people came to America, they had just gone through the Protestant Reformation. And that, if you remember the story, they had gone through the Protestant Reformation. They came into this country, many of them fleeing the religion of in Europe. So and the kings. So they came fleeing to this country. And when they came, then you had George Whitefield that came on the scene, and he caused this great movement, a spiritual movement, and that happened 7 years before. He was a Sabbath keeper, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That happened before, 7 years before the people actually became a nation.
Wow.
Before they actually started the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, that they had already gone through what they call the Great Awakening.
Oh.
And he told them, and you can pull his letters up and look at what George Whitefield wrote. He wrote how they kept Passover. He wrote how they kept Pentecost. He has those in his journals. And he wrote that he told them that they were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So they knew that. They knew that. That all of that's written in history. And he came from Oxford, and there was only a group of 8 men, and they fasted twice a week in that group, and they were all Sabbath keepers.
Wow.
And three of those, you know, George, you know John Wesley, and
yep.
and his brother, and out of those 8 men in that small little, you know, fellowship group, God used 3 of them to cause a great awakening in all of the European nations, all of Britain, Scotland, and in America. And that's what happened at that point in history. But see, what was the true interesting point is these people who are now looking to their Bible, they took the Constitution and found the government in the Bible, and that's what they set up in this country. That's what they set up. And I can go through and I can prove that to you. The entire Constitution we have can be found in your Bible, every element of it.
Interesting.
And so when that happened, when they pushed in the Constitution, that changed the, and that's why it says that shot that was in Lexington was heard all over the world. The first shot for the American Revolution was heard all over the world. And the reason they said that is because at that point, the other nations started looking at us and said, oh, my goodness, we don't have to have kings. We do not have to have kings. We can rule ourselves. And that led to the French Revolution. French Revolution happened 10 years after we got our Constitution.
Uh-huh.
Because our people, which was Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, went over there and talked to them and said, you know, y'all don't have to be under a king. You can take your country back. And that's what all of these nations did. And now practically every nation in the world has their own government. But now they're flipping back and trying to get back to the feudal system. And that's what socialism is.
So
that's what we've been coming.
So why then, if the Constitution gives us freedom by following God's laws, why is this constant statements being made that it was oppressive, it was set up by a bunch of white men who wanted to control the U.S. or the world? It is also, belonging to guys who believe in theist beliefs, you know, and not necessarily the God of the Bible. Why is that
because
all coming
they,
to head?
Because now you have this situation that's popping up in the book of Revelations where it says the noisome beast. You have 4 basic plagues that falls on Israel. One is war, famine, pestilence. And then noisy beast. And beast, if you go back to the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 8, it tells you that both the beast and in Israel both need to repent. And so that means that the beasts are people. And the Father is comparing the evil people in your land to beast. And that's saying. And that's what you see coming. What's happening is the result of this nation turning away from God. And so He punishes Israel with four things, and he tells you that all through Scripture. I will punish you, and this is how I do it.
You know, the abyss picture is really obvious. We're watching people lose their minds on television, yelling, screaming, prostrating themselves, throwing feces at people, pulling people out of cars, burning buildings, and that's
just CNN.
But it's only coming from one side, and if the right side tries to do any sort of protest, they're immediately shut down, thrown in jail or done something, but the rest are all allowed to occur. So are you saying that Yahweh is allowing this to occur so we can see a difference, so people make up their minds and decide to serve the living God? Why does he allow this?
In the process of disassembling this government.
Okay.
The corrupt government that we have, he's disassembling all of it a little at a time. And you can see it happening. I mean, you can see this government coming apart.
Yes.
Because
we've
done the things that we've done. He's the one that's doing this. See, everybody thinks, well, no, the Father just sits back and allows it to happen. Well, he could probably do that too, because we're bringing it on ourselves, right? But
right. It
actually says he creates good and evil. That's in Isaiah chapter 45. He says, I am the creator of good and evil. And there's a verse that also says that he rides on the head of a storm when it comes in, on a whirlwind.
Wow.
A whirlwind in Scripture is a hurricane. So, in other words, he takes responsibility for what he does. He doesn't pass it off, pass the buck to somebody else. He takes the responsibility. And, you know, this is all about responsibility, because that's how God's laws are built around. If you don't obey, then this is what happens. That's responsibility. You have to pay the price for it.
Oh.
And so most of the things that you see going on right now is this nation being taken down a little at a time. It's going to come to the point where, you know, where it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, all those things in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 are going to come to a fruition, where it says there's low grinding. That means hardly any wheat. It says there's not going to be any traffic on the roads. You know, the streets will be desolate. The stores will be desolate. See, that's where we're headed, because that's the only way the Father can take us down at this point, is to take and destroy this government so that he can re-set up a different government, which will happen in the millennium, which is just around the corner, believe it or not. People teach all kinds of weird stuff, but it's just around the corner. now, watch this. This
okay.
is another interesting thing, because the book of Daniel, it says, seal this book up, Daniel, because it's not for you, it's for the end time. So everybody skips that story of Daniel chapter 4,
okay,
which is when Nebuchadnezzar makes his mistake, and he has 7 years of madness.
Yes.
That is exactly what you see going on right now. We're in those 7 years of madness. The tree gets chopped down. We know that we play the role of Babylon. That Scripture is very plain on that. That America plays the role of Babylon. When you go to Isaiah 47, it tells you she sits as a queen. She doesn't think she can fall. That's describing her. But it gives you the other description that says she is the hammer of the earth. There's only one nation that's the hammer of the earth, and we're sitting in it. Everybody wants to say, well, you know, it's all about the land of Israel in the Middle East. Let's just examine that, okay? Let's just say that you only believe that there's one tribe that's Israel, and that's the people in the Middle East, which are the Jews.
Uh-huh.
So if you believe that, there's more Jews in this country than there is anywhere else in the world.
Right.
Okay? All right, if you believe like the Christians do that Israel is a spiritual thing, and that's just all the Christians. There's more Christians per population in this country than anywhere else in the world.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you believe like me that the 12 tribes came here as well as some of the other countries that are Christian countries, if you believe like me, you also, no matter how you slice this pie, it's pointing back to this country.
Wow.
When she falls, all the other Christian nations will fall too. They have no protection after that.
Correct.
They look to us for their protection. That's why we're called the hammer of the earth.
Interesting.
So when you get back to that story about Babylon having 7 years of madness, we're in those 7 years of madness. I believe that started when they had that eclipse in 2017.
Really?
And you so know, I think that's what the Father, everybody that went out and saw that eclipse.
Uh-huh.
It happened on Elua the first, and they all went out and they saw that eclipse, and it's exactly like it's happened before in history many times. And I believe that Father was marking and letting them know that that's when the time started for the 7 years of madness, and I think that's what we see going on. And this thing that Nebuchadnezzar was in madness for 7 years.
And it's interesting, Linda, that he becomes a beast. You know,
yes, he does. He does.
He actually becomes a long-haired beast, and he loses his mind. And when I look
at— That's what our leader has done.
Yes! Yeah. But it isn't just him. It's the whole leadership to where they have literally lost their mind. If we were to take those dates that you just said from 2017, we see a leadership house in the Senate, in the House, actually losing their minds against a president that we've never seen before. We see riots. We see people knocking down buildings. We see forests set on fires. We see these things that have happened that we've never seen before. And yet,
yes,
here they are.
Yes, here they are. And so this is a country that has lost their mind. Now, when you go back to Matthew 20, chapter, I think it's chapter 9, and it first starts out with the Messiah, and there's two blind men that are following him crying, "I'm blind and I need to be able to see." And so he opens both of their eyes. That is Israel and Judah.
Wow.
You know, and then it goes on, and it, the next miracle he does is he removes the demon possessed man, the demon out of the demon possessed man. We really are, have become, many of these people have become like this nation can be easily described as demon possessed. I mean, I don't see it. I see that so vividly right now that the people in this country have lost their minds. They truly have lost their minds. And you know, especially see it around the abortion issue.
Yes.
And then you have all the transgender stuff. Well, see, Scripture tells you that Hasatan is going to have his own prodigy. He's going to have his own children. And so that's what you see going on right now with the transgender.
Linda, we'll be right back. Hang on tight. Be there for us.
Okay.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, His people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys and one really wise lady. Her name is Linda Watson. She's the host of Setting History Straight right on Hebrew Nation Online Radio. She's retired from the Shell Company as a system analyst. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. Mother of two grown kids, has four grandkids. She taught in public school and the private sector for 20 years. She lives in New Orleans. And as you can tell, her passion is Bible history. And, you know, just to give you an idea, here's just some of her shows that have been on or her podcast that you can find on Hebrew Nation Radio. Why sacrifices? Why are sacrifices in the Bible? Does it have any relevance within our time?
No.
Maybe
no.
Some of you might.
That's the old stuff.
It's the old stuff. It has nothing to do with anything. Or just the topics like how does baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit and the wedding, how does that relate to the Pentecost time? And those are wonderful pictures.
Well, they're both in the Bible.
Yeah. And then even weird, you know, like many of us will ignore some of these amazing books within Scripture, like Haggai and Amos and all those sorts of things. But she has this one topic. The book of Haggai is a prophetic book written after both Israel and Judah had gone into captivity. What does that prove? What does that say? So if you want to get an idea of what some of these books means, tap in to Linda Watson on Setting History Straight. She's got a passion. I tell you, it comes out loud and clear, right?
Absolutely.
I love it. Oh, my word. Linda, it's almost like taking in a fire hose of information, you know? But I'll tell you what, it's so many pictures that you gave us this morning. And you were talking about how Yahweh is actually setting these things up in history to help us make a decision, because he does bring us life. He does want us to live, but he has to make a distinction between good and evil, correct?
Yes, but he's disassembling this nation because all our institutions have now become corrupted. So he's taken down every institution we have now, a little at a time, but he's taken them down. You can see the government falling. You can see the financial system failing. You can see the educational system failing. All of them are coming down. Oh. And he's allowing, not really allowing it, he's really orchestrating these things and orchestrating the fall of this government so he can replace it with something better. And he will. And so interesting, because going back to that Constitution and why it was so important, because up until that time, the people were under the feudal system. They didn't have any rights. But when we set up our Constitution based on biblical law, that's when the other nations looked over and said, "We can do this. And one nation after another toppled their king and set up their own government." You know, and I think it's such a fascinating thing that we're the ones that really caused this change in the world. I mean, it's just like going from darkness to light. And that whole system, that whole feudal system was a socialist system. It really was. Mm-hmm. But these people that I call them the kings of the earth, the CEOs and many of the other corrupt people in power right now want to push us back under socialism, which is a form of the feudal system. Do you see that they're trying to bring it back? And then when they do that, you'll be like Isaiah chapter 21, where it says, you know, the servant will be like his master. And then it goes through a whole list of different things that it's just talking about socialism there.
You know, Linda, give us a little bit more about your picture of the kings of the earth at the moment. We know that many of these people are much richer than the leaders that rule in the certain areas of the world. And we also know that many of these we have moved from multiple and hundreds of companies back in the 50s to now just a few companies that rule just about everything. How do you, is the kings of the earth?
That's where it's talked about in the book of Revelations, in Revelations 18, and it actually says the kings of the earth will be your merchants.
Wow.
And everybody read that verse, and they never paid attention to it. And your merchants are your CEOs, and they don't even need a government. They can run things. They have so much power, they don't even need a government.
That's true.
You stop and think about it. They can turn people on and off the internet at their whim, and they actually, well, look what Elon Musk did. Well, he just moved a satellite over top of the Ukraine. I mean, these people have tremendous amount of power, and they don't need government to give them power. And so this is the kings of the earth, and it talks about they destroy the woman in Revelation 17, and that woman, I believe, is Israel. See, it's really crazy because everybody wonders, what is the woman that rides the beast?
Yeah.
The beast, it tells you, it's seven kingdoms. It's five have fallen. One was when John was writing, and that was Rome. And then, you know, two other was to come. And so we're in one right now, which I believe we're moving towards socialism. But the woman that rode the beast was called a harlot. Well, who is the harlot talked about in Scripture from all through the Old Testament? Who is the harlot talked about in Scripture? That is Israel. Israel is called the harlot. From the time you start reading the books of the prophets, all the way through, she is called the harlot.
Wow.
And so Israel is, according to Galatians 3, verse 29, said all the people who believe in the Messiah are Israel.
Okay, so Linda, hang on. I think Aaron has a question for you. You know, because when you said harlot, he just about lost his mind. Okay, what are you thinking there, Aaron?
Wow. Okay. I don't know.
No different than what people think, but I mean, that's really what the Bible defines as the harlot is Israel. It said she played the harlot. Israel played the harlot all through Scripture.
Well, I mean, where my head went in all of that is, you know, just because we've been talking, you know, for I don't know how many months now, a year now, you know, just talking about where we are with prophecy and stuff, you know, because there's so many things that seem to be lining up, right? And so when you bring up the woman riding the beast, my head went with where we are in this country right now with our leadership. We're on the verge of having our first woman president. Well, her claim to fame was being a harlot.
Really?
Yeah, well, I didn't know that.
Oh, my word.
That's where she got popularity.
That's right.
My head just blew up, and I went, oh, my goodness, that's who we have in the next in line.
Next in line.
All these guys have read prophecy for all these years, and they've gotten it wrong because it wasn't for them to know. It tells you plainly that it was only going to be revealed at the end time. That book of Revelation tells you that. Daniel tells you that. And so everybody just assumed, well, the woman was the Catholic Church. She is not. It tells you the harlot that all through Scripture is the woman, is Israel.
Yes.
Israel is in, and he's only talking to spiritual Israel, by the way. He's really talking to spiritual Israel. That is the people that believe in the Messiah. You read Galatians 3, verse 29. You can't get anything else out of that. Galatians 3, 29 is the most powerful verse in the New Testament. It says, if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed.
Yes.
And so you can't get around that verse. That means if you are a believer, you are, which this whole country tells you they believe in the Messiah. But so does all these Christian nations. They believe in the Messiah. They have just backslid and left their Savior. That's what they've done. And
okay,
they're not going to return back until they feel the pain and they need him. Until they need him, they ain't not turning back.
So let's define that word harlot, because harlot to me is really important. Because when you just said those words, they believe in the Messiah, but they don't keep his commands, which basically means they believe in the Messiah, but they don't have a relationship, because a relationship within a marriage says, I'm not going to commit adultery. I'm not going to commit murder. I'm not going to hurt you. Okay, but yet we have a church that is committing adultery, that is doing these things. So they claim the marriage covenant, but they're not in the covenant. Is that right. The harlot?
Yes, that's it. And see, now this is the other piece that nobody catches. Nobody catches. When you go to Samuel, he was the ruler, plus he was the high priest. He did both. But
yes.
Then the people came to him and said, hey, we want a king. And that's when the government went underneath the king, and now, you know, you have nothing left. You have no church. So church and state was a critical piece that needed to stay together. And that's why the Messiah came back and he became the Melchizedek period. He was the Melchizedek, which means he was the high priest and he was the king. Okay.
Wow.
So that's the role that they were playing in the beginning. So that's why the father told Samuel, they're not rejecting you to rule over them. They're rejecting me to rule over them,
mm-hmm.
because that was their decision at that point. That's where they got off the track with the train. But you take a look at the court system, right? It is exactly like, it looks exactly identical to the holy place in the temple.
Wow.
So you have, now just think about this. You in the holy place, you only have three things. You have the showbread that's on the right-hand side, and you have the menorah that's on the left-hand side. Well, the menorah has seven candles, but you know that represents the church. You know that represents the church, because you're told that in the book of Revelation.
Yes.
The seven candlesticks is the church. So you have the church on the left-hand side, then you have the 12 loaves on the showbread table,
uh-huh.
on the right-hand side. That represented state. You had 12 loaves of bread, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yep.
You look at the courtroom, you have on the same side where they had the showbread, you have 12 jurors.
Wow.
And they don't have a menorah on the other side because they left church out of their government.
Interesting.
And so interesting, because there's a bar that goes behind the in the back where the people sit in the spectator area. That's the same as the as it actually plays the same role as the court of the women, or the court of the Gentiles, they called it, where the people could observe what was going on in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the area where they would take the sacrifices, which were in the outer court. It wasn't in the holy place. It was in the outer court. So that was their prayers and petitions and their requests that would go on that altar. The blood would drip down, which is the petition. The Levites would take the coals out front with the golden censer, and they would bring it into the holy place, and they would put it in the altar of incense along with the incense itself. So they would pour incense over top of those coals. And when you get to the book of Revelation, the Father said that was prayers going up.
Yeah.
So you can see the entire salvation being played out just in the holy place, because you have, it looks identical to a courtroom. And then in your courtroom, you have a judge in the front, which you would bring your petitions to. You have the prosecutor, which would have been the Hasatan. You had the Messiah, who was the intercessor. They sent up pleas to the judge, who is the Father.
Interesting.
And then in our court system, you can't just walk up to the judge.
No.
You have to ask permission to walk up, because they consider that holy area. So can I approach the court is what they tell you. Can I approach the bench?
And you have to have your attorney to come with you to do that.
Yes. And the attorneys played the role of the Levites, actually. They were the ones that knew the law. And so you start, when you start realizing all that, then you realize that the temple was where all of this took place, okay? They did the same thing, identical government in the temple. It's the same identical thing that's in the temple. And you realize that the temple wasn't for church. It was the government seat.
Well, and Yeshua mentions Moses' seat even in the Gospels.
Absolutely. It's a government seat. How do you know that? When Jehoshaphat, the seer, came, what it says, Hananiah came to Jehoshaphat, and he said, the Father is not happy with you because all you did was take the statues out of the land. He said, he's not happy. So Jehoshaphat went and educated all the people in Israel on God's laws, it says. Then he set up Levites to judge the people.
Interesting.
And interesting because the Levites, we normally think of them as being the church, right? But they were really the government officials. See, the same identical system we have now, okay, but we don't realize it. And so, you know, today we would go before the court and we pay fines, right? I mean, we pay penalties. That was the sacrifices. That's our sacrifices. We pay money. Sometimes we have to pay by staying in jail, right?
Yeah.
But there's a sacrifice to make. Well, in their time, they were an agrarian society, so they used animals. They didn't use money. They used animals, and that was how they paid their fines and their dues and the whatever else they've done. It's the same identical system. And so now watch this part, though. There's a curtain where the Holy of Holies is in the front, okay? So there's a curtain there, and then there's a curtain in front of the Holy of Holies. So you have two curtains, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, what does the Father say? When you're going to pray to me, which that is an area of prayer. That's where they brought the incense in and they put it in the golden censer. And the prayers would make smoke and go up. And the Father said that was prayers in the book of Revelation. That represents the closet. You enter into a private place that's closed. And that represents the closet.
Wow.
You know, remember that in scripture where it talks about the closet that you go in? You know,
yep.
Go, the Father says, go into a closet. Don't go pray in front of a whole bunch of people. Just go into the closet and make your request known in the closet. That whole thing looks like a closet.
This stuff is, as we were saying.
The temple was never a church. It was a government seat, and it had both church and state in it because it was all one piece. But our government disassembled the state, disassembled the church. And that wasn't our forefathers' intent, but that's how it happened.
This is too real and too obvious. What do we do from this point? Because this is a lot of information. How does a person put this together and go, okay, I want to worship the King of Kings and I need to leave behind this world? I mean, it's how do you do this? I'm not explaining myself well, but you have a person that comes to realize all this prophecy, and we're starting to see it, and the Bible's becoming very clear, and our governments are becoming very clear. How do you move a person from acknowledging what's going on to changing their life and becoming separate?
Well, the Father's the only one that can do that, and he's in the process of doing that right now with all of these people. And when you go back to the book of Zechariah, by the way, Zechariah was who? He was the prophet that came with Ezra and Nehemiah. Him and Haggai. Those were the two prophets that came with Nehemiah and Ezra. And they came in, remember, after the 70 years. Uh-huh. After the 70 years was over, after Judah had gone into captivity for 7 years, then they came into the land, remember, and brought the people. And they brought Zechariah and they brought Haggai. So those two books, along with Malachi and I'm trying to remember what else, Daniel, of course, those books have never been fulfilled. They've
correct.
Never been fulfilled. So when you get to Zechariah, you're in a whole new world then, because none of those prophecies could be fulfilled, because that book was written after both Israel and Judah went into captivity. Well, it tells you one-third of the people will repent and return. It tells you one-third will repent and return. Uh-huh. And that's real plain. I think that's in Zechariah chapter 13. So it's the Father that's going to do this. He says he's going to do it. He's going to turn their hearts around. But they first have to come to the point where they realize they need him. And right now, this country doesn't need him. They still think they can do it on their own strength.
Yeah, can I read that text for you? This is Zechariah 13. It'll come about in that day, this is verse 2, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. They will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land.
That's
so
what's going on right now.
He's doing it. Wow. This is too cool. just too cool. Sorry, I'm getting all excited over here. You know, even in the Old Testament, he said that he would fight our battles, you know, but he's always fighting to bring us back to him. You know, you see this God that's...
Or our institutions. See, our idols today are not, we don't have a physical idol we go bow down to. We have our institutions. People don't go to God anymore for their healing. They go to a medical doctor.
Yes.
You know, and that's nothing wrong with going to a medical doctor. I'm not saying that. But who do you look to for your healing, you see? And so each one of these institutions is our idol. And that's what he's taken down. And that's what's being, we can see it being destroyed as we speak.
Yeah.
And so the people are going to have to get out of those institutions. And that's really what's going to have to happen. But, you know, he'll eventually bring everybody back into the wilderness. That's what his goal is. I mean, he's going to bring them to the wilderness. Whatever that is going to be, that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, because in the wilderness, we have to learn to trust. We have to put our belief in him. We have to learn that he is the provider.
Ask her if she can stay with us.
You know?
And not only that, you're living out on the land back in agriculture, which is where he wants you anyway. No,
I wish.
That's just fact.
Yeah, right?
I mean, because we've corrupted these institutions. It's not anything wrong with the institutions. We have just corrupted them. And they've centered everything around money, which the Father says money is going to be your stumbling block. Every time he talks about the stumbling block, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Now, what's this verse? This is in Zephaniah.
Hold on a minute, Linda. Hang on just for a second. Right back.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey,
we be back.
With a wonderful lady. We're talking with Linda Watson, an analyst, a historian, a teacher, a woman that's on Hebrew Nation Radio online with so many podcasts. You are going to be blessed if you just look up a few of them. So, we're so glad to have her here. And we're talking about the present world that we're in and the prophecies within Scripture and how Yahweh's using and pushing some of these things to actually change us, to make us become awake to His power and His kingdom and His commandments. Just before the break, Linda was going to be talking to us a little bit about a text that came up in Zephaniah. So I want you guys, again, pull out your notes, okay? Get ready to make some notations. And afterwards, look up some of this stuff. I think you will be blessed. I know us wise guys, we're getting excited every second here, the more Linda just keeps on giving us. So, again, welcome back, Linda. Thank you for taking time out of your day with be with us. And, hey, talk to us about Zephaniah. What is in there that we need to pay attention to?
So interesting, because Zephaniah 3:3 says, her princes within her are roaring lions, and her judges are evening wolves that gnaw on the bones, and not until on the bones until morning. And so what he's saying, the bones of this country is our Constitution. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason they want to bring it down, is because they actually want to bring it down because in they don't, it's a psychological thing. It somehow they know that it is God's law and it's God's structure. And it's a small piece of it, but it's the government piece. And so they want to take that down because, you know, Hasatan is at work here. And, you know, Hasatan has no, now think about that. He has no race and he has no gender. And so the people are now being pushed to transgender because he's creating his own progeny.
Oh, my word.
To gnaw on the bones, that's what they're gnawing on the Constitution. These judges all over the country are trying to push Roe versus Wade back in.
Yeah. Yeah, Linda, just before we had you on today, we were talking about the rainbow colors for the LGBT versus God's colors. And we noticed that their colors are 6 versus God's colors are 7. 6 is the number for man. And the color that they pulled out was the light blue color, which stands for peace, which they took out. So they're no longer, I mean, why would anyone take peace out? Why would they do that? And it makes sense with what you're saying, because we are seeing a world that's without peace. We're seeing this.
Except for when they peacefully protest.
Yeah, right. But I will do as I will. I will do things how I want to be it. And that's straight from the book of Satan. So when you say these comments like these are his prodigy, oh, my word, that's hitting home.
It's hidden home because that's why they are pushing for transgender. And they're going to force it into the schools now. I mean, that's what's coming next. They're in the process of doing that right now. It's going to be a big fight. Mm. And so this is something very interesting that nobody has noticed. And let me see if I can get to my notes here. Nobody's noticed this. And this is in Jeremiah 31:31. And y'all are very familiar with this verse.
Yep.
Because people have read it over and over. It says, behold, the day has come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. A covenant, you look it up, is only a promise. It doesn't have to be a set of laws, although those were promises too. So
yes.
Remember that David was the father made a covenant with David that all his ancestors would always be on the throne of Israel. Remember that?
Yeah.
So he said, you will never lack for a son. And he made that into a covenant. That's a promise. You see, so he's telling you here that behold, the day will come. Now look in verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. That's not, he says, I'm going to make a new covenant, but it's not going to be the one that you are familiar with when you were in the land of Egypt.
Right.
And the one, which is the covenant Exodus 20 through Exodus 24, right? Those
right.
statutes, judgments, and commandments. That covenant, I believe he's talking about here, is our Constitution, because it changed the world. When that Constitution rolled in, all the other nations got rid of their kings. I'm talking about worldwide.
Yeah.
Russia was one of the last ones to do it, and Germany was one of the last ones to do it, but they did it, and they set up parliamentary government. And so the people on this is when we read these things, we don't understand all the meaning the Father's trying to put here, because that covenant that we made, and that was done by George Washington. You remember George Washington actually made a covenant. He went to that church right after he was inaugurated, him and all the Congress, and they prayed before God and made a covenant.
Oh.
And so it's interesting, because I think that's what he's referencing. Now, look at verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And then it says, after those days. So the days when they set up the Constitution, after those days, which is going to be in the millennium, right? Or I will put my laws in their inward parts and write them in their hearts. So he's always done that with his people, but he's going to do it on a massive scale with Israel and Judah in the millennium. And
wow.
So, you know, there's more than one way to read this. And so people are, you know, the Declaration of Independence, that was really, when you start looking at that, that was a divorce decree.
Oh.
They were divorcing mm-hmm. themselves from the King of England.
With you, I have critics many times that will say, well, George Washington and these other people, they were just Masons. And they were actually doing the will of Satan, not the will of Yahweh. What do you have to say?
Yeah, because the people are so ignorant. I'm so sorry.
Linda, I just wish that you would just tell your opinion sometimes.
So some people are just don't read, because when you see George Washington was known for praying, they said they would walk past the you know, the rooms where he would be in, he'd be on his knees. He was on his knees all the time. He was always praying.
Oh.
And so it's just, and Benjamin Franklin, we know, was a Saturday Sabbath keeper. He was one of the best friends with George Whitefield. And John Adams and John Quincy Adams, his son, were both Sabbath keepers. That can be easily proved by their letters that were sent back and forth between John Adams and his wife, where she talked about how I'm keeping the Sabbath today, and she had the date up there on the top of the letter.
Oh.
So, you know, it's not hard to figure it out. You know, so these guys were, you know, we're going to be surprised probably when we find out to what extent they were keeping God's laws. You know, look at Roger Williams. Oh, my goodness. So he came to be the first preacher with the Puritans, right? Well, they ran him off because he was telling them stuff that they didn't want to hear.
Mm.
And so he went and lived with the Pilgrims for a long time. And he's the one that established the first constitution in Rhode Island, and Rhode Island would adopt it from Connecticut, would adopt the same thing from Rhode Island, and that became the original constitution. They used that as the foundation for the constitution. These guys do not know these men, because these men, you know, were not evil men. They were God-fearing men. And there's many things that they recorded, how they would argue and fight in Congress, and then they would stop, and they would say, well, you know, let's just say a prayer, and they would say a prayer, and then everything would calm down, and everything would go back to a peaceful solution.
Wow.
And so these people would not even let you, they would not allow you to work in any government position unless you took an oath that you were a Protestant believer.
Yeah.
You had to take an oath that you were a Protestant. So many people just heard this stuff, and it's just, you know, when you start reading the writings and you see that even Jefferson wrote a couple of religious books. What did they do with him?
Yeah.
Now, I forget which books he wrote, but I mean, there was two religious books that he wrote. And I mean, it's just, and the Father's hand's been all over this country from its conception.
So let's take this back, because I want to kind of direct this towards the end about us having hope, and I want to take you back towards Revelation, and just to kind of understand this. But we're back in verses 14 and 16, where we find that these people will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And you also brought up this idea of who the harlot is and who the beast is, and there's a clear distinction between those two. The woman can't be a harlot and cannot be a beast, but we do know that a woman that goes back on her vows becomes a harlot and actually rides this beast. I think you're saying the beast is something that's out of control. It's a kingdom that's not of God's. Am I understanding this correctly?
That's exactly what it is. And that's right now we're under socialism. And then when you read Revelation 17, it explains it. Because John said five have fallen. And he was talking about these heads, right? Five have fallen. One is, the one that was Rome, because he was living under Rome at that point. And two more were to come. And it says the eighth one comes out of the seventh one. The seventh one is socialism. The eighth one will be just as bad, if not worse, you see. And so this is where, you know, we may not be completely into the seventh one totally in this country. But we already have the government set up. They're just in the process of pushing it in on everybody.
Wow.
And their government is based on diversity. I mean, their foundation is not the Constitution. Their foundation is diversity. And so this is where we come. I mean, this is where we come.
So let me ask you your opinion historically, because you're a historian, and we have things coming up this year, like an election. Do you actually think that anything will be turned around, or do you think it'll just proceed to go forward?
I think they may be able to pull off the election and get more conservative people in it. But, you know, it's the real power in this country is not with the government anymore. It's with the media. It's with the media. The media have the power. They've already figured that out.
Yeah.
That in Scripture, the media is Damascus. When it's talked about Damascus in Scripture, look up the word Damascus. It means you suppress the sackcloth weavers. Well, the sackcloth weaver is somebody like me. You know, that's people telling the truth, and they don't want the truth out there. And there's many people telling the truth, and they're blocking them from telling it. And so that's the media. And so it's very... The government has really, for the most part, it's going to play very little role except for what Biden's doing. I'd be surprised. Now, you know, it could be a slight healing, because that's what happened with Roe versus Wade. I never thought in my lifetime I'd see them change that.
Right.
You know, I never thought I'd see it. But, you know, that was the day all the planets lined up and with the moon.
Really?
That morning, all the planets lined up with the moon. I've been waiting for that constellation for 3 months, because they have been trying. They've been lining up partially since April, but everybody knew on June 24th they were supposed to line up, and they lined up that morning right before they made the announcement of Roe versus Wade. Now, that's no accident. That's the Father's hand.
And so that
is. Trying to, it is his hand. And so this he's got a plan in place. and you know, it's going to cause a lot of strife before it gets better.
Wow.
But this is all about, you know, there's still some parts that have to be fulfilled. Like it talks about your brother will lift up sword against brother. That's what we see going on right now. There's a big fight between the conservatives and the liberals.
Hey, Linda. Hey, hang on just a minute, because towards the end of the show, and we're getting there, I usually turn to the people that are here in the studio with me, both Tuck and Aaron, and I ask them this very important question. What are you going to take home with you after listening to the guest? And I want to see what they have to say, because maybe it's a question that they have of you. And so let's just take a few moments to see if we've been assimilating what you've been saying to us, because this is a lot of info.
He's putting the pressure on us.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, this is amazing stuff. Okay. So I don't know who wants to go first. Aaron,
I think you should go first, because usually we come up with our thought, and then you're like, well, yeah, and now I think this, and you've already heard two of our thoughts.
Yeah. Well, what I'm assimilating, number one, is that prophecy is relevant to today.
Yes.
Yeah. Number two, I am seeing and hearing that there are many things happening in the U.S. that we need to be cognizantly aware of.
Absolutely.
In order to make a decision.
Yeah.
On what side to go on. You know.
Well, I don't know if we need to use that to how to decide, but just to be educated on what is happening.
Yes.
And how that might pertain to, you know, what we see and believe the Scripture is talking about.
Yeah, and then wake up.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I think the one thing I'm taking home is huge, is wake up. Just period.
Well, the thing for me that's so important is that we always talk about prophecy. Mm-hmm. And most of us don't really understand what the word means.
Yeah.
Prophecy is not fortune telling. It's not future telling. Prophecy is speaking the truth and speaking Yahweh's truth.
Yes.
And the end, I mean, it tells us all through the Word. The end is from the beginning. He tells us everything from the start. Mm-hmm. And so the whole plan, including salvation, is there. And so we just need to reread it and restudy and talk to each other. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And put it all together. And that's what prophecy is you're speaking God's Word. You're speaking His truth. And sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. Most of the time in our earlier lives, we didn't get it.
So, like today, like if I hear that coming from you, and I'm hearing Linda too, I'm thinking, you know, what a greater time to really know the Bible. We need to know it.
Yeah, we confirm each other.
Yes.
And that's what we're supposed to do. And if you don't study with other people, if you get caught up in studying by yourself, that's dangerous, because you can make mistakes and then you're stuck.
You think?
Yeah. Only some of us make mistakes, Doug.
That's true. I forgot about you.
Thank you. Thank
you. You are perfect.
Aaron, what do you think?
Well, I think you're right on there. Is we do need to wake up and see what is going on around us, and just make sure that we are in the place where we are supposed to be.
Be a follower of Yeshua.
Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah. And just use the guideposts, if you will, of what is happening in the world around us to go, oh, okay, well, that's what evil looks like.
Yeah.
And so I can see that one, and I can compare that with what I read in the Scripture and go, okay, I can see where I need to be, and that's following the Scripture.
So, Linda, after giving us all that information, do you think we're retaining some concepts that are important? Or
yeah, I think you're right on the mark. I think this is not so much about us as it is about the other people in the land that are spiritually asleep, and he wants to wake them up.
Right.
We need to be there to support them when they wake up.
Amen.
And yeah, because we are going to have the answers that we can tell them, because they're going to be very afraid when all these things start happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have food shortages in this country. I mean, that's going to be a tremendous time when that happens. Mm-hmm. So we've never lived through anything like this because we've just been skating along. But we're about to. So people say, oh, you know, you're just doom and gloom. But wouldn't you rather have somebody tell you what's going to happen than to have all of a sudden you wake up and you're in the middle of it and then you don't know what to do? And that many people are going to start looking around and saying, is this they're going to be afraid. And that's where we can step in to help because we will know what's about to happen. Something that's really critical that is about to happen is that Joe Biden's fixing to go over there to the Middle East and meet in the Middle East with Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
That Ephraim, when she saw her sickness, which is the oil shortage, which is going to lead to the chain supply problem and the food shortage in this country, when Ephraim saw his sickness, he went to Assyria. Assyria is your enemy. And so that's about to be fulfilled in the next 2 weeks, and we're sitting here watching it, but we don't even know that these things are being fulfilled in the Bible.
Oh, my word.
And so
that's fantastic.
That is amazing stuff because we definitely play the role of Ephraim in this country. And, you know, that's not hard to see, you know, because we are the youngest son with the greatest blessing. And so, you know, the father's he's not going to forget his people. He's going to put them through a time period that's going to bring growth. You remember the scripture talks about there's a former rain and a latter rain?
Yep.
And rains always bring growth. And so that's what they do. When it rains outside, your garden grows. You know, that's what happens. And so the former rain was when we were Israel in the Middle East and we went through the captivity and the wars, right?
Right.
And so that's about to happen again. So now when you read this verse in Jeremiah chapter 9, and I'm going to read it real quick here. It's verse 25. Behold, the day shall come, that's our time, when the Lord, I will punish all of these which are uncircumcised with the uncircumcised.
Wow.
And then it goes on to mention some of the nations that are uncircumcised, like Egypt and whatever. And then he mentions Israel is circumcised, but she's uncircumcised in her heart. So what he's really saying is there's a war becoming between the East and the West. So if you look at this world and you just draw a line right down the middle of Israel in the Middle East, everything on that side of it, on the west side, believes in the Messiah. Everybody on the other side is all the false religions. Buddha, Hindu, and all of those, you see. So you see that what he's talking about here is the circumcised and the uncircumcised. There's going to be a war that comes down between the two of them. And the uncircumcised, which is the eastern countries, okay, that don't believe in the Messiah, those countries are, you know, that's the time of the Gentiles when they actually rise and they take down the nations of Jacob. And so that's
gotta close. You guys be super blessed. Hang on, Linda.
The darkness must flee.
We gotta have you on more often.